Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, we heard yesterday it's the number one priority of the Minister for Agriculture. This is the retention of Ireland's nitrates derogation. This effectively allows Irish farmers to keep more cattle per acre than almost all other European countries. But it was granted on one condition: Ireland's poor water quality improves. And that hasn't happened. And pollution from agriculture is one of the main culprits, according to the EPA. So should we try to keep the derogation, or for the sake of our water quality, is it time to give it up? I'm joined by Jennifer Whitmore, TD, who's Social Democrat spokesperson for climate and biodiversity, and Dennis Drennan, president of the Irish Creamery Milk Suppliers Association, who is at the ploughing championships this morning. Now, Jennifer, you're an ecologist by training. You don't think it's possible, do you, to have the derogation and also have clean water?
No, I think all the evidence, all the scientific evidence that we've seen to date is that it is near impossible to do both. And when you think, like, we've had the derogation, I think, since 2006. And a key component of having the derogation is that it doesn't impact on our water, you know, conditions. And we haven't seen improvements in that time. We haven't. What we've seen is a decline in the water quality of our rivers, of our lakes. And we haven't seen the measures that are being put in place by government haven't had the impact that they need to have. So I think, you know, what we need to do and what the minister needs to do is look at the evidence. Look at what's coming out from our scientists, from our water monitoring, and really be, I think, truthful with farmers to say that, look, a business as usual cannot continue. We have to have major changes in how we our agricultural systems, and that the government will work with farmers to make those changes.
So you're saying, really you're saying to farmers, you need to keep fewer cattle and cows on your land.
Yeah,
bottom line.
For a number of reasons. Obviously, we have emissions and climate targets to meet, and our water quality. I mean, you know, having clean water to drink for farming, for recreation, for tourism, it's critical. It's not a nice thing to have. It is a critical thing that we have and we deserve to have. But what I would say is that the farmers are in the situation, the agriculture and water pollution is in the situation that it is now, because successive governments have driven this very intensive model, and they've forced farmers into a situation where we don't have an environmentally sustainable agricultural sector, but we also don't have a financially sustainable agricultural sector for farmers. I mean, you know, farmers' incomes are very low. Many of them can't afford to do it on a full-time basis. And we've seen huge drops even this year in even the big farm incomes, because they're very, very, very vulnerable. In fact, the IFA have recently said that agriculture is a very fragile system. Mm-hmm. So what we need is, we need government to have a vision for what farming is into the future, recognising that we need to have more environmentally sustainable farming, meet our climate targets, meet our water targets, but also something, a farming system that works for farmers.
Okay, well, let's hear from Dennis now. And Dennis, you know, the science is the science on this one. Like, we have the EPA reports showing year after year that there has been no increase in Irish water quality, no improvement. Do you accept that farmers and the agriculture sector hasn't kept its side of the bargain, that it hasn't kept water clean? And that was the deal.
Well, good morning, Claire, and good morning, Jennifer. I suppose, look, we need to start with, a reality check as regards where Irish water quality is. If you look at the analysis of the EU groundwater stations, and the most up-to-date period we have that is from 2016 to 2019, and we're actually fourth in the EU as regards nitrates in the water. Like, if you look at Europe, we're only one of three countries now with a derogation. Actually, Denmark has probably gone at this stage, so we're down to two. We're number four in Europe, with an average of 2.5% of our water bodies not meeting the nitrates targets set by Europe, whereas across Europe, the EU average is 19%. So, like, if you look at derogation, everybody blames derogation for water quality. The countries across Europe that don't have derogation, their water quality is much worse than ours. Now, we have a unique grass-based system in Ireland. Now, can we do things better? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do we want to do things better? Absolutely. If you look at the engagement in the measures and actions that have been brought in by the department in the past number of years, like, as Jennifer said, we were driven in a certain direction after the financial crash back in the late noughties. We were told, drive on, we need our most important indigenous industry. Your exports are invaluable. We have a €17 billion indigenous industry in the country here. But can we do things better? Yes, we were driven in a certain direction. We need to take more account of water quality, environmental biodiversity. And if you look at the actions that are being taken by farmers, like in 2 years ago, we were set a target to cut chemical fertilizer, which is also important. The derogation is all about organic fertilizer, but chemical fertilizer is also important. And we were given a target for 2030 to cut our chemical fertilizer use to less than 300,000 tons. That has been achieved in 2 years. So we're 6 years ahead of our target with a chemical fertiliser.
Yep.
If you look at the incorporation of clover, multi-species swarts to change the way we grow grass, if you look at more efficient use of organic manures with low-emission slurry spreading, 90% of slurry in the country is going to be spread by low-emission slurry spreading in the next 2 years, which makes it more efficient. We've EIPs all over the place that are way environmental impact that's oversubscribed all over the place.
Dennis, I don't want to bamboozle people, but I do understand that farmers are taking action. But the bald facts are, and this is from the EPA report on water quality in 2023, levels of nitrogen are still too high in 42% of riversides, 20% of groundwaters, 27% of riversides have levels of phosphorus that are too high, 35% of lakes have levels of phosphorus that are too high. And there are two culprits there. And the first one is agriculture. The second one is Irish water and water quality in our system, which we know needs massive investment. But there is a job of work to do. And the bald fact is that we promised in exchange for the derogation that we would improve water quality. We simply haven't done that.
Absolutely, Claire. But I mean, we're working as hard as we possibly can and putting measures in place. And if you even read the local the local authority's water programme, where they're trying to incentivise people to do the right thing, they accept, and this is the problem, we need time for these things to work. If you read the LAWPRO Water for Life's programme, they will say that any farmer getting involved or any landowner getting involved in any of these programmes, there's up to a four-year lag in chemical improvement of water quality, and then once the chemical improvement is achieved, there's a further 2 years before biological improvement.
Okay, so are you saying you need another 6 years from the EU on this?
No, because we're well down the road on implementing these measures, but there's no silver bullet here. Like, there's no way, like, land, soil releases nitrogen. On a day like today, you'll have mineralization of soil because it's like the middle of summer here in Rathenniska, in your own home county, Clare.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the middle of summer. Today, soil naturally, without any farming activity, will mineralize nitrogen because of the temperature and the
so
and
how
the
long how long do you think how long more do, does Ireland need the derogation?
It's not up to me to decide that. All we can do is follow the best possible science that we have available, and that's coming from LAWPRO, from the Agricultural Attachments Programme. We follow the science, and they're saying that it could take, from when the measures are implemented, which we're well down the road of doing that, and that's what the European officials are very impressed with, what's happening at farm level at the moment, and the uptake and implementation. And
so up to 6 years, but you're not clear exactly. Jennifer back in on some of what you said there. So they need more time, that's what they're saying. Do we have time to allow them that extra breathing space to get these levels down?
No, I don't think we do. I mean, we've had the Nitrates Directive has been in since 1991 and the derogation since 2006. So at some stage, we just have to call a halt and say, actually, we need to protect our rivers for drinking, for recreation, for farming, for our communities. And this is where government needs to be honest. I can understand Dennis's position. He's fighting for his membership. And I think there is a lack of certainty for farmers out there. We have a government that continually implies that, look, everything will be fine. We'll get this sorted. Leo Varadkar last year essentially was misleading the farming community, saying that he would talk to the commissioner about the, addressing the derogation, the reduction in the derogation.
But they're still doing that. That is the plan. So
absolutely.
Minister McConnellogue said very clearly, Martin Hayden said it to us, it is their number one priority to extend this. You heard Dennis, they are taking the actions they say are going to get us where we need to on water quality. My question to you is, should they be given more time? And if not, why? If it's a question of a couple more years.
So all the evidence is pointing that the actions that are being taken, whilst they're welcome, and I know farmers are putting effort into it, they will not be sufficient for us to improve water quality. And the second point, like, I think, you know, whilst the government is saying their number one priority is to retain the derogation, their number one priority should be to ensure that we have a healthy rivers and lakes system, that we have a healthy farming community and industry. And we don't. We don't have that at the moment. We have a situation where farmers aren't making money and our environment is being impacted heavily by the policies
Dennis,
of government.
Dennis, do you dispute that? That really the whole system is wrong here and farmers are at the raw end of this and pursuing the nitrates derogation is not the way to ensure that farm incomes are going to be sustainable into the future?
Well, Jennifer made an interesting point there that I'm fighting for my members. I'm actually, where I agree I am fighting for my members, I'm also fighting for rural Ireland. We have a 17 billion euro industry here, and the multiplier effect of that money coming into rural Ireland is 2.5. So it's over 40 billion that agriculture puts into rural Ireland. That's the heartbeat of rural Ireland. And farmers realise that how important it is to their communities, to their schools, to their shops, to their post offices. There won't be a rural Ireland unless we have that money coming in there. And there's no point in every farmer in the country being involved, putting their shoulders to the wheel to improve water quality and then discover that our derogation is gone. And that, you know, it's no longer viable to be a farmer in rural Ireland.
And Dennis, can I ask you, if the derogation is removed, do you think that farmers will stop engaging in water quality protection if that happens?
I think farmers want to do what's best. Every farmer, no matter what farmer you ask, they want to hand over their land and their farm and the environment that they live in a better condition to the next generation. But it has to be viable. Like, I mean, there's three legs to the sustainability stool. One is environmental, and that's what everybody is focusing on. But there's always a social and economic. So if it's not economically viable to farm, one of the biggest threats we have at the moment is the number of people leaving the industry and the lack of interest from the next generation to get involved in the industry.
Yep.
And a lot of these rules and regulations are driving people away from it. And will we have that industry to support rural Ireland? But there's no doubt that farmers are like their number one priority at the moment. The level of engagement, the ASAP programme is an agricultural sustainable support and advice programme. It's a voluntary programme. We've 97% engagement from farmers in a voluntary programme.
But that's because there's the threat of losing the derogation.
Well, no, a lot of the ASAP people, a lot of the farmers involved in the ASAP programme would not be derogation farmers. They pick priority catchments and go and advise each and every farmer, full-time, part-time, sheep, beef, tillage, everybody.
They're
and
there for various reasons. They're taking part in that voluntary programme.
Jennifer, it's a voluntary programme.
Okay. Jennifer, what have you to say about that? That the threat of losing the derogation, it really is a stick that's helping to keep farmers engaged in the issue of water quality. And if you remove it, that's gone.
Look, I think farmers are absolutely brilliant at doing what government pays them to do. You know, they're business people, right? They want to have a viable business and they need certainty and clarity for that. But also, they will do what government pays them to do. And if government pays them to do the right thing for the environment, they will do it and they will do it very well. So I think what we're seeing here is a failure in leadership from government. What government should be doing is saying, look, here's the new environmental reality that we're facing. Here's our vision for agriculture in Ireland. Whilst taking into account things like climate change, how is that going to impact agriculture? You know, there is a changing system and we need that vision from government. We need government to say, here is how we are going to support you doing this. We haven't seen that today. It's like government are pretending that everything's going to be fine. And what that means then is if, and I believe it will be when the EU make the decision to remove the derogation, that the farmers have essentially been driven to a cliff and there's no supports. And we saw that last year. When the interim derogation revision was made. You know, there was no supports for farmers when it came to the crunch time. And I think that the government is going to continue to do that because I don't believe that government politicians are being honest with the farming community and they are afraid to be honest. And farmers know that as well.
All right, listen, we're going to have to leave that one there. Jennifer Whitmore from the Social Democrats and Dennis Drennan joining us from the Ploughing Championships. Dennis is president of the ICMSA. Coming up next, we'll have personal trainer Carl Henry here on the best way to exercise as you age.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.